You are about to listen to The Light of Emunah, a Parsha podcast based on the teachings of the Or HaEmunah weekly publication by Harav Menachem Azolai. This podcast is being produced Lezecher Nishmas Rachel Bas Yosef Zev. Translation and narration by Dov Elias. For more information, please visit the Light of Emunah website at www.tloe.us.
Welcome to the Light of Emunah podcast, Parshas Tzav, Pesach. This adaptation is dedicated in honor of my dear wife, Devorah, and our dear daughter, Tehila, and for Refuah Shlema for Ratza Bas Rochel and Henya Bas Fredel. This Shabbos is Shabbos HaGadol, the Great Shabbos. One who does not believe that even the wickedest evildoer can be transformed into a complete tzaddik on Seder night is himself the Rasha who is discussed in the Haggadah. That's a quote from the Rebbe, the Yismach Yisrael. Pesach. The night of Pesach is the greatest night of the year. All of the many preparations turn into amazing vessels to absorb the great light. The light is tremendous and awesome. It is Hashem's light itself. I am not a Saraf. I am not an angel, says Hashem in the Haggadah. That very divine illumination was revealed to our ancestors on that very first Pesach, the Pesach of the Exodus. It returns and is revealed again every year anew, divine radiance that transforms night into day. On Seder night, the gate to freedom of the soul is opened. We are no longer slaves to our illicit desires, negative character traits, and sadness. This night is the night of our freedom. The night elevates us a bit higher, and we merit receiving true knowledge, that there is only Hashem in the world, and there is nothing aside from Hashem. On Pesach, the light of freedom and the light of redemption penetrate to all corners of the soul. In an instant, they transformed us from a nation of slaves into a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. We are elevated a handbreadth above the ground, disconnected from the materialism and routine of the weekdays. We feel Hashem's closeness as we do not feel it at any time of the year. This light only descends once a year. We must grab it. Freedom does not mean doing as we please. Freedom means liberation from the illicit desires and negative traits so that we can do mitzvahs with joy and toil in Torah and serving Hashem. True freedom is the sweetness and pleasantness of Torah and tefillah, being prepared to spend all of our days in this manner, being given over completely to the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. Only that is called freedom. There is no free person other than the one who engages in Torah. We are still in Egypt. We are confused. We do not know what to do. It is hard for us. Things are dire, and suddenly we feel connected to something real, something good within our soul, within our heart. We feel like there is some exodus from Egypt here. We constantly leave Egypt. The exodus from Egypt accompanies a person throughout his life, each person with his challenges, each person with the path that he must traverse. We struggle for emunah, for bitachon, for peace at home, for properly educating our children, for our livelihood. We fight against ego, anger, illicit desires, and negative thoughts. However, we are not alone. In the most trying moments, in the darkest gloom, we must remember that Hashem is with us even in the most trying challenge. He knows what we endure. He lives our pain. He is there. He sees us. He will not allow us to fall. We just must not forget the most important thing. We have will, desire. Will is the only power that we have in this world. There are so many struggles, wars, copings. We fall into crises and emerge from them. Then we fall again and try to get back up again. What remains is this tremendous power of our refusal to forego. We cling to our willpower. Once again, we begin to desire proximity to Hashem. When a person becomes dejected and begins to despair, that is the most desperate straits. When we abruptly lose our desire, which is the greatest power in all of creation. If a person is strong in his desire, he strengthens his essence. The approaching holiday is a festival of song and gratitude to Hashem for all of the favors and wonders that He does for us at every moment. The entire purpose of creation is for a person to thank and praise Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to thank Him, praise and glorify His name, but not for His sake, for our sake. There is no praise that could possibly repay HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of the kindness that He performs for us. It is for us, so that we may merit this amazing dveikus, clinging. Pesach equals a talking mouth, Pesach. It speaks and tells the wonders of Hashem. Whoever increases is laudable. Conversation with Hashem is the infinite source of joy and vitality. Like a certain mother related, she prepared a cup of coffee, placed it on the table, and said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come talk a bit about my issues. Simply and wholesomely, that is how a person must speak with Hashem. Rabbi Nachman taught that a person must speak to Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as he speaks to a good friend. When we sit down to talk to Hashem, we must never forget to thank. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for us, in His kindness, countless benevolences. Yet, we, if the slightest thing goes awry, if something does not go exactly as we want it to, we are disgruntled and we complain. We must remember all of the favors that Hashem does for us every day, every moment. Thank you, Father, you are so good to us. You give us so many precious and marvelous gifts. Pesach comes to teach us how much we must praise and thank. The only night of the year on which we recite Hallel is Seder night. Pesach is the holiday of Emunah. Pesach is the holiday that implants within us the knowledge that there is no power that governs in the world or causes any event to happen except for Hashem. What is the opposite of this knowledge? The opposite is nature, the notion that things happen by themselves, naturally. This chametz is what Pesach comes to uproot. The overhaul of all systems of nature that occurred in the days of the original Exodus and remains is the eternal testimony that there is nothing in the world that happens on its own. Everything is done by His will. There is a creator of the world and everything lives, breathes, and exists by His will. If we lack emuna, that is chametz. Therefore, the prohibition against chametz is constant and at every moment throughout the holiday. It shall not be seen and not be found. Bal yiroa bal yimatza. This prohibition is singularly severe, more severe than other prohibitions because others have minimum sizes and amounts, and there are situations in which they are nullified in larger permissible mixtures. However, when it comes to the prohibition of chametz, there are no minimums. Even the most minuscule amount is forbidden and is not invalidated even when mixed into something permissible. The tiniest crumb of chametz prohibits a huge pot. That very chametz that we freely eat all year, make brachas on, enjoy permissibly, turns into something so frightening on Pesach, because chametz symbolizes lack of emunah. If we recognize that whatever happens is to cure, correct, purify, and draw us close to Hashem, if we realize that that is the only goal of the suffering that we endure, everything becomes so much more tolerable. However, if we see everything that occurs as if there is no divine providence, God forbid, it is truly possible to despair and become broken. There is maror in life. It happens. If a person knows how to accept the maror with love and remains happy, if he davens and strengthens his resolve, has emunah that it is for the best, he will merit. After the maror, we enjoy the festive meal. On the Shabbos before Pesach, we read Parshas Tzav. The Pasuk says, Tzavis Aharon v'ezbanov lemer zois teres ha'ola. Command Aharon and his sons, saying, this is the law of the elevation offering. Parshas Tzav deals with karbanos. Karban is from the term for closeness, karov. It means to draw us closer to Hashem. To come closer, we must sacrifice, lahakriv, all of our personal and illicit desires that distance us from Hashem. The story is told of the great Gaon, the Chida, who was sent as an emissary for the benefit of the scholars of the land of Israel. He very much enjoys smelling tobacco, or snuff, so much so that sometimes he would wake up in the middle of the night, smell the tobacco, and go back to sleep. Once, while he was traveling abroad, the local wealthy men came to an agreement as to who would host the Rav. One would host him for dinner, a second would host him to sleep overnight, and a third would host him for breakfast. They each contributed a substantial sum for these privileges. At the home of his overnight host, while the Rav was learning, he had an urge for his snuff, but remembered that he left his snuff box at the home where he had dined. It was winter, and it was a particularly cold night. The Rav was not lazy, and with youthful vigor, he donned his coat and went to the home at which he had dined. He woke up his earlier host, retrieved his snuffbox, and returned to his lodging. After he rested for a moment, he was filled with regret for having awoken a family from their sleep simply because he could not overcome his olfactory craving and on such a cold night. He decided he would not use the snuff that night. In the morning, he requested that the community gather that afternoon for a special lecture on man's spiritual levels. The community assembled. The Rav ascended to the lectern and he began to cry. He related the events of the previous evenings, how he acted with zeal, went out in the bitter cold, and woke up his previous host, who was shaken by the Rav's surprise visit in the middle of the night, all because of his capitulation to his urge for the snuff. At that gathering, he vowed that he would never again use snuff. Hearing the Rav's words of mussar and inspiration, the people all began to weep, began to have thoughts of tshuva, and make plans to turn away from sin. This is the law of the elevation offering. A Jew must constantly strive for something higher, for Hashem. He must definitively resolve that nothing will confuse him or move him off the concept that he only wants Hashem, that he wants only Hashem. A person who has never once tasted the true light of Hashem is misfortunate. He thinks that the only pleasures in this world are physical pleasures. If he once tastes the flavor of Torah, Tefillah, his Bodidus, holiness, spirituality, he can no longer be deceived. Most important is the taste of desire, the relish of a person who wants only Hashem. He constantly yearns and longs. Every time you see an illicit desire begin to overpower you, say, Master of the world, I do not want this illicit desire. I want you, Hashem. I do not want this gratification. I want to delight in you, cling to you. I do not want this illusory sweetness. I want your sweetness, Hashem. The Shabbos before Pesach is called Shabbos HaGadol, the Great Shabbos, because on the last Shabbos before the Jewish people left Egypt, Hashem commanded every household to take a sheep as a Korban Pesach and to tie it to the foot of the bed. The Egyptians who observed this became enraged. They considered the sheep to be a holy animal. Yet a miracle occurred and they did not attack or harm the Jewish people. And when they heard that they were going to slaughter the sheep, they did not say anything. Their teeth were blunted. Really, the miracle began earlier, when the Jewish people had the courage to slaughter the Egyptian god. They were willing to sacrifice their lives to fulfill Hashem's command. Shabbos HaGadol reminds us that Hashem is great, far beyond our comprehension. Our problem is that we so often fall into resentfulness and small-mindedness because of the events that occur in our lives, and we forget Hashem's greatness. That is what Shabbos HaGadol comes to remind us, that Hashem is so great and He performs miracles and wonders for us constantly. On Pesach, we emigrate from distress and slavery and attain hope and freedom. This concludes the Torah portion of Rav Azulai's Light of Emunah. And now, as we do every week, we conclude with the tefillah that Rav Azulai shares with us from his heart, his cry to Hashem. It is a very personal and intimate part of him. And it reads, Master of the world, help me make the most of what I anyway do all day, especially when it comes to tefillos and brachos. Help me not do them in an offhand or casual manner, just to check a box that they were done, without concentration and without feeling. There are so many moments each day over which I am so upset because I davened and recited brachas. I did so without heart, without focus. My thoughts were completely elsewhere. It is such a pity, Father. If I am already doing it, it may as well be with attentiveness, with feeling, that I be inspired by whatever comes out of my mouth. It should bring me closer to you. It begins already at the morning brachas. So often I say them automatically, from memory, and I am not at all moved by what I am saying, by the fact that I was born a Jew, that you open my eyes, that you provide me with my needs, etc. Some say that it is rare to find a Jew who recites the morning brachas intensely and animatedly. Yet that does not comfort me. I want to be one of those rare people who say everything wholeheartedly, with dveikus, clinging. This continues through the rest of my davening. In Psukei Dezimra, we praise, glorify, and extol your name. And it is so enjoyable to sing with concentration and not like a robot who recites it by rote with no heart or mind. That is not called davening. That is merely reading from a book, from a siddur. Shmona Esrei. So often my thoughts wander to distant places and I suddenly find myself at the end of the prayer and I felt nothing, as if I had not davened. or I'm in the middle, but I do not know how I got there or where I'm up to. Master of the world, I am required to make brachas, to daven. I'm not even talking about extras. So why not do them properly and make you and me happy? Why not perform your will wholeheartedly? Especially with habitual matters that we recite all the time, such as Kriya Shema, benching. Rather than saying them as if we said nothing, help me, Father, to say them with concentration, with feeling, with heart, with melody, for it to be something entirely different. Master of the world, there is so much beauty, truth, and power in the tefillos and brachos. They contain so many diamonds, pearls, and precious gems, words that can strengthen me in my war against the Yetzirah, who never leaves me alone for a second. Why should I lose everything? Help me, Father, to focus on the words that I utter, to at least let my ears hear the words that my mouth speaks, to stop daydreaming, to wake up, to begin anew. Have an awesome, uplifting, and wonderful Shabbos and a kosher and lichting of Pesach.
You've been listening to the Light of Emuna Parsha podcast based on the teachings of the Or HaEmuna weekly publication by Harav Menachem Azolai. This podcast is produced by Hillel Caps Productions, Lezecher Nishmas Rachel Bas Yosef Zev. Translation and narration by Dov Elias. For more information about the Light of Emuna or to receive a weekly Parsha newsletter, please visit www.tloe.us.